Back here on the Mighty 690, as we approach 9:10, it is time for our monthly update from the Coffeyville Amateur Radio Club, as we have a meeting coming up tomorrow, and joining us, we have President John Vest here in the studio. Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Hey, doing well. Good to have you on here. So, hey, it's been a bit of a snowy and messy day to start off here. Oh my gosh! So thankfully we got some of the roads. How are the roads doing? I haven't been out since 5:30.
Yeah, they're starting to clear off. They're just slushy right now. That's all they are. Hopefully they'll dry up a little bit before tonight, though.
yeah, that's what we were saying, because it would be nice, because it is going to drop down to about 28 tonight. So really don't want any ice. I'm not into that. But hey, we're going to be making it up to. Looking like the end of the 60s by the middle of the week. So that's very typical Kansas weather for you. You never know what's going to happen. So
snow today, bathing suits tomorrow.
That's right. It was just a really, really wet, dense snow. It's been a while since I've seen anything quite like that. So, hey, I know, kind of recapping here, speaking of winter weather, the Amateur Radio Club here in Coffeyville did have our winter field day at the end of the last month. How'd that go?
It went great. We had about 30 people show up, and we made quite a few contacts. We didn't really take and count all the contacts, but there was contacts from other countries even that we made during the field day, and we all had a lot of fun up there.
That's great. So fantastic. I was obviously out of town during that time, but you know, winter field day is kind of a little bit different than the field day that we were talking about here in the summer, because obviously the weather is a lot different. There are a lot of clubs that what they will do is they actually set up, they'll have tents and they'll be, you know, basically outside and operating and stuff. We didn't take it quite that far.
No.
The heater worked, I assumed. So.
Yes.
we were inside, but you know, it's still important. And the main thing with the idea of field day is to be able to activate in any weather conditions. So
right.
Obviously summer field day, we have hot weather typically.
Yeah.
And in winter field day, it's usually some cold weather, depending on where you are. I was in Arizona while winter field day was going on, and you know, there's a lot of people walking around in shorts. it was a little too chilly for shorts for me, but nonetheless, it's just a good opportunity to be prepared whatever the weather may be, because, you know, an emergency situation could arise in any weather. And
right.
A lot of times it's not going to be 73 degrees.
You're right. and when in the winter one, it's the rules are even different than the summer one. You can use all sorts of different things. You can use regular power, everything.
Oh.
And with the summer one, you can't.
I know the lights just flickered here in the studio and we went off the air. So we're still... I saw that happen. So can you... We're back on? Okay. I saw that happen. Oh, man. I was like, no, not again. But I looked up, and I saw the lights flicker, and then it went off. Oh, man. It's the heck. All right. So let's see. That's, as we are talking about emergency situations and stuff, a fantastic reminder that electricity can be taken off.
Anytime.
Anytime.
So, and who knows for how long?
who knows for how long? So, that's the thing. So, you know, that's why. I mean, as an amateur radio operator, it's peace of mind to know that, hey, you know, I can still communicate when there is no commercial power.
Right, and like I said, it's different for winter and summer, but it's a lot of fun both times. I mean, during the summer, you're doing it without power, with generators or just batteries or solar or wind, but wintertime that gets kind of cold to try to do some of that with no heat or anything.
Oh yeah, no, there's some clubs that take that pretty seriously, but you know,
yes.
Typically, you know, for our summer field day, we do go ahead and operate off of emergency power. We have a generator, and we're on our own. I mean, we have all, we bring all our own equipment, and this is another good chance for people to bring out some of their own radios and that sort of thing and set them up.
Yeah, it gives everybody a chance to try out their radios, make sure everything's still working on them if they haven't used them in a while. And there are some people that have just certain radios that they bring for field day, and that's all they use on field day.
Yeah, exactly. So in any communications emergency, you know, there is a lot of times, you know, it's going to be some sort of local affected area that does not have, you know, communication. And so you're trying to relay messages in and out of that area. And so that's where, you know, amateur radio excels in the fact that, you know, police and fire, they do have their own radios, they have their own systems and their own backups. Mm-hmm. But if something does go down, you know, we can kind of hack the system, if you will, and we have our own systems that are pretty open source that
right.
we can get into.
And even with law enforcement and fire and all, their systems can go down completely if it hits a tower or something like that. And they can be totally out of theirs also, so we can do stuff for them while they're down even.
Yeah, no, that is a great reminder. So John, we do have a meeting that is coming up here tomorrow, and yep. So I know we have several people who are going to be taking their tests too.
Yes, we're going to have testing tomorrow evening, and if you want to just come out and just watch, see what's going on, learn a little bit more about it, you're more than welcome to come to our meeting. And if you want to try and take your test, you can do that too. And because we do have a few that's taking the test tomorrow night, and it's going to be at Coffeeville Reawakening. They're on 9th Street here in Coffeeville. And it's at 7 o'clock, and you're more than welcome to come. Tomorrow night we have election of officers and stuff like that too. So
that's right, and a good chance to go ahead and pay up for 2024.
Yep.
Like you said, because the we didn't have our meeting last month, and so we're gonna be having that just $15 for the year.
Yep.
And cash would be great, and we'll take that, and I do have change and all that sort of thing, but I did make sure we get plenty of fives. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's coming up, and you know that gives you the opportunity, of course, to vote in the club meetings, and in addition, that helps to fund club activities like field day, helps to keep our repeaters and all that sort of thing
right.
going.
Yeah, that's what this money's used for, is like our repeaters, the field days, you know, or, you know, even flowers for funerals, things like that. But it's mainly for field day and keeping all of our equipment that the club owns going.
That's right, because we do have several repeater sites up on the hills, and yeah, those do cost some money to keep going. And in fact, I think we're going to be talking about some repeater projects and repair. We've got some backup unit to send in for repair, and just the normal stuff that we're working on. So we'll be talking about all that typical club business. But if you've never you know, experienced ham radio, you're kind of curious about it. We have a lot of people reach out to me, and I think that's great about, you know, the hobby. So this is a good time to come in and learn a little bit more about ham radio and ask questions, because there's so many questions, and
okay. And I mean, there's so many different things that you can do with ham radio too. It's not just talking to one person or another person. You can talk all over the world. You can, you know, make a list of places you want to talk to and try and get a hold of them on, you know, with different frequencies and stuff. I mean, there are people that have made, that's been in ham radio for 50 years, it's made tens of thousands of contacts, and you can send out QSL cards and get them back from people that you talk to, and, you know, see how many QSL cards you can collect over your lifetime. That's a heck of a deal too.
Yeah. Oh, and people do the work, all states and everything.
Yes.
Like that, where they're trying to, you know, talk to all the different states. You have the DXCC, where you try to talk to 100 different DX entities, and you're saying, oh, wait, what are you talking about? DX, that just means you're out of the United States.
Yeah.
So that means think about like long distance or something like
right.
that.
And they do have awards for different things too. I mean, there's all sorts of different awards that the AARL gives out on things like that also.
Oh, yeah. And then one thing that has been so popular, and I know on a weather day like today, everyone wants to get outside, but the parks on the air is a really big thing that has just taken off. It's basically where you go and you activate a park, and then people can, you know, talk to you there at that park. And I think it's 10 activations that'll count. Once you talk to 10 people, that counts as an activation.
Yep.
And so just like someone may go to a rare island or that sort of thing to activate it, for most of us, that's a little bit out of our price range and
yep.
our time commitment, because it usually takes sometimes tens of thousands of dollars to do those activations.
Yeah.
Here, you can drive to a local park and put it on the air, and you can just have a fun little outing.
Yep. And another thing that's getting ready to start coming up is more ham fests.
Yes. Yeah. What do we have on the docket?
Claremore is going to be in March, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like the, I think it's the second weekend in March. I'm not sure. I haven't looked it up yet, but it's usually about the second weekend in March. And it's not just ham radios. They have all sorts of stuff. They have wines at it even.
Oh, wow.
They have knickknacks, any type of knickknacks you really want. People go there and set up all sorts of different booths. And, I mean, it's a interesting time.
And Claremore, I will say, having been to several hamfests, is probably one of the best regional hamfests in the Midwest in general. I mean, it is really good. People say, "Oh, is it going to be worth my time?" I mean, it's down there with the big event center. I mean, mm-hmm. we're talking, you know, oh, it's like 20 rows of tables at least, going all down the line. It's big.
Yeah, and it has a lot of door prizes, all sorts of stuff like that.
You better keep up your winning streak.
Yeah, and also in June, the 1st of June, they're going to have one in Springfield, Missouri.
Okay.
And it's going to be at the Salvation Army building over there. And apparently they're trying to make it a real big one also.
Well, that's great.
I was reading about it yesterday, actually. I was looking at that. And I don't remember all the details, but it looks like it's probably going to be a pretty good one to go to.
Well, that is great. So, yeah, and then Claremore is 2 days long as well, which is awesome. I mean, the fact that, you know, you can really – I went and visited both days, and it was well worth it.
Yeah.
So I really like that. So, you know, they, like you said, the door prizes are great. I think they even have some talks and that sort of thing mm-hmm. at those, so you can check those out.
Well, they also have classes there. You can take classes on all sorts of different things, not just for radio license, but different types of learning about transistors, things like that. They have all sorts of classes.
Okay, yeah, that's a good reminder. So, you know, you can go and you don't even have to spend, you know, you spend a little money to get in the door, but you can take in some of the educational opportunities there. It's just a really cool place to come and learn about ham radio, because when you get into this community, there are so many little specific things that, you know, a day-to-day person would have no idea that those things are going on. But it's a very social hobby as far as, you know, getting into to meet with people in person. You know, they call that maybe an eyeball QSO, and you're like, what? But stop again. QSO is just a short for a conversation.
Yeah.
It's a because back in the day, when we had Morse code for everything, they used those Q signals to shorten things up.
Yes.
So that we had a way to not have to spell the whole thing
word out.
Yes. Yep. So we still carry a lot of those over into our voice communication.
Yes. But, and like I said, if they want to get a hold of us too, they can call me or text me anytime, day or night. And my telephone number is 620-515-0097. And I'm there all the time.
Okay, well, good deal, John. You know, you're a great resource. You can always head over to coffeevillearc.org. And again, tomorrow night, 7 p.m.,
yep.
Coffeeville's Reawakening. 115 West 9th, and probably best to park in the back still, because they still are finishing up those columns.
Yeah, I didn't know if they were finished with that or not.
Yeah, I think they've still got a couple more to do, and they're probably going to be a little delayed now with the weather.
Yep.
But public service people have a little bit better things to be doing right now. So that's what kind of where we're at there. So encourage each and everyone to stop on by, and again, that's tomorrow night. All are welcome.
Okay.
All right, John, appreciate it. Appreciate the donuts as always.
No problem.
Chris came in for the donuts. He's ready.
Yep.
All right. Well, hey, we do have open line on the way. We're also going to be replaying our interview from South Coffeeville Superintendent Daryl Pruder. So that's up next, and then we'll be getting into open line here on KGGF.